Greetings and welcome to the Juniper Networks Integrated Operating Plan. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Ms. Kathleen Nemeth, Vice President of Investor Relations. Thank you, Ms. Nemeth. You may begin.
Thank you, Operator. Good afternoon, and thank you, everyone, for joining us today. On our call today, Shai Karadpir, Chief Executive Officer, will provide an overview of our Integrated Operating Plan. Robin Denholm, Chief Financial and Operations Officer, will join us for the Q&A portion of the call. Please remember when listening to today's call that statements concerning Juniper's business outlook, economic and market outlook, strategy, future financial operating results, and overall future prospects are forward-looking statements that involve a number of risks and uncertainties. Actual results could differ materially from those anticipated in these forward-looking statements as a result of certain factors, including economic conditions generally or within the networking industry, changes in overall technology spending and spending by communication service providers and major customers, the network capacity requirements of service providers, the timing of orders and shipments, manufacturing and supply chain constraints, variation in the mix of products sold, customer perception and acceptance of our products, rapid technological and market change, litigation, the potential impact of our activities related to the execution of our Integrated Operating Plan, and other factors listed in our most recent 10-Q and the press release furnished with our 8-K filed with the SEC today. All statements made during this call are made only as of today. Juniper undertakes no obligation to update the information in this conference call in the event facts or circumstances change after the date of this call. Please note that today's call is scheduled to last for 30 minutes. With that, I'll turn the call over to Shiga.
Thank you, Kathleen, and thank you all for joining us today. As I indicated on our last quarterly call, I've been actively reviewing the company's business lines, operating model, and capital structure to develop an integrated operating plan. Today, I would like to share with you the details of that plan. This plan is focused on accelerating growth and increasing shareholder value and ties together all the different aspects of how we're going to operate in 2014 and beyond. Before I dive into it, let me say that having done an extensive review of our business and product portfolio, I'm very confident about this plan. It includes input from a variety of key stakeholders, from customers to shareholders to employees, and addresses four key priorities. First, an innovation-focused strategy that capitalizes on Juniper's engineering expertise across routing, switching, security, control, and network management, and that is most aligned to being a leading provider of secure, high IQ networks and serving the needs of cloud builders. These are the fastest growing networking segments, and it is where we excel as a company. Second, in order to execute this strategy, capture the opportunity ahead, and more quickly respond to market dynamics, we will implement a one Juniper structure. This framework will create a more focused, connected, agile, and execution-oriented company. Third, these changes will result in a more efficient cost structure, including structurally reduced costs and increasing operating margins. Fourth, an aggressive new capital allocation program that increases shareholder returns while preserving flexibility for future growth. Now let me walk through each of these areas in more detail. Our strategy is to be the leading provider of high IQ networks and best-in-class cloud builder, and is based on our deep knowledge and experience with customers. The world is changing, and the opportunity is large. So what are we seeing? Information and data must be able to be accessed round the clock and on demand. Rising interest in private clouds, an increasing number of apps in the cloud, and growing public cloud needs all present a significant and rapidly growing opportunity that Juniper will help customers capture. Meanwhile, Data volumes moving across networks continue to grow and will accelerate as more and more devices and machines are connected. But as the opportunity grows, so do the challenges. Customers must improve the efficiency and elasticity of their networks, bringing down total cost of ownership to maximize profitable growth and increase revenue. The solution, high IQ networks. High IQ networks and cloud environments require an integrated ensemble of routing, switching, security, and network intelligence and control, and are characterized by rapid service creation, highly automated and operationally efficient, super secure, hyperscale, delivering out coherent, actionable intelligence and insight, virtualization with cloud control. Why the network? Because the toughest problems in the cloud today are in the network, and it has to be the first mover to unlock strategic business value for our customers. And more we're seeing a convergence of network architectures for service providers, wireless and wireline carriers, content, cable, Web 2.0 companies, and cloud-building enterprises. We're targeting the fastest-growing areas of the market and the fastest-growing customer segments within those areas. We view these segments in the following way. First, service providers, cable, and content providers where their network experience is fundamental to their business model and to national infrastructures. Second, the Web 2.0 companies, who are also at the forefront in building advanced, secure, intelligent networks. Third, an important set of enterprise customers who are also building large-scale internal clouds, such as financial services and national governments. And finally, there's a set of enterprise customers who will be customers of other segments or will evolve to viewing network as mission-critical to their business. We intend to focus on high IQ networks and cloud builders, and the area of the market expected to grow significantly. And we are well positioned. 50% of Juniper's FY13 revenue growth was comprised of web services, content, and cable customers. These customers are looking for new revenue growth, speed to market, service quality, operational and capital efficiency, all elements that Juniper's strengths can help build. So this is why our strategy of becoming a leading provider of high IQ networks and best-in-class cloud builder is such a great opportunity. And we believe we are uniquely positioned to play a key role in facilitating and accelerating these changes for our customers. Only Juniper can leverage its strength in systems, silicon, and software to build the kind of networks that fit where our customers want to be, and importantly, where the market is evolving to. High-performance, agile, secure, automated, context-aware networks in an open framework. The demand for high IQ networks and secure cloud environments that our customers are seeking requires security, switching, core and edge routing, virtualization capabilities, and network intelligence all working seamlessly together. This is the value proposition that Juniper alone can offer. At the heart of this solution is the network, real-time and automated choices between physical or virtual resources to provide network performance and agility at the lowest cost of delivery, resource scaling in moments, not months, and applications-aware networking, using actionable insights and context learned from and executed by the network to deliver the best possible experience. And omnipresent security coordinated across all resources and connections. To enable this integrated approach, we will be viewing routing, switching, security, control, and network management as one integrated product portfolio. Over the near to medium term, we will be reviewing our portfolio to ensure that our solutions are centered on these key strategic areas while providing an integrated, leveraged, and focused set of solutions for our customers. So that's our strategy. Now, how will this impact our structure as an organization? This plan is about optimizing our company structure through an approach we're calling One Juniper. One Juniper is about aligning our organization around our strategy, including coalescing our immense engineering talent, go-to-market teams, and R&D resources to provide quality and depth on what matters to our customers. We will simplify our organizational structure to increase efficiency and reduce management layers. Another important element of One Juniper is customer connectedness. We'll be closer to our customers than ever before to ensure we can anticipate and co-create with them to meet their ever-changing needs. I think of this as an outside-in customer imperative fused with inside-out innovation. In short, One Juniper is about reinvigorating Juniper's heritage of a mission-driven culture through results-driven execution. The third pillar to our integrated operating plan is our improved cost management, which is tailor-made for our strategy and the competitive environment. In the IOP, cost reductions will result in $160 million in annualized operating savings from the Q4 2013 level, which will be fully realized exiting Q1 2015. Improved resource allocation is expected to result in significant near and long-term operating margin expansion. We're targeting 25% operating margin for full year 2015, an approximate 580 basis point improvement from 2013, with operating expenses comprising approximately 39% of revenue. While we will provide further detail on our next financial results call, I will tell you these efforts will center on initiatives that will strengthen our competitive position. We are realigning our R&D and our strategic priorities to ensure we are focused on the highest return opportunities. As a result, we expect that historical R&D spend as percentage of revenue to trend down over time. At the same time, we are focusing our go-to-market on high-growth segments, and we will be right-sizing and centralizing G&A functions. We're taking a balanced approach to cost management and prioritizing and strengthening our focus on innovation that matters. To ensure 100% accountability, we have established a cost control committee led by me. In addition, we have retained the McKinsey Technology Cost Structure Team as an independent consultant to advise on execution. We will update you each quarter on our progress against our cost reduction objectives and the 2015 operating margin goal. Now let's talk about our capital return program. Our board has authorized a $2 billion share repurchase program to be completed by the end of Q1 2015. This will include $1.2 billion to be repurchased through an accelerated share repurchase to be entered into shortly. We're also initiating a cash dividend of 10 cents per share in Q3 2014 with the intention to grow it over time. The plan will be funded by onshore cash as well as newly issued debt. The structure of this plan allows us to preserve our investment grade rating, which is a critical factor given our customer base, and maintains our flexibility to invest in innovation and growth. We intend to continue to review our capital return policy for additional capital return over time. Finally, as part of our ongoing assessment of the composition of its board of directors, we also announced today that the board will nominate for election at the 2014 annual meeting of stockholders, Kevin DiNocchio and Gary Deschant, as new independent directors. In addition, Kevin Johnson will retire from the Juniper board at the end of this month. In summary, I'm very pleased with our integrated operating plan, and I want to thank our amazing Juniper team around the world who have been instrumental in helping me develop and shape our IOP. To recap, our strategic focus is on the highest growth opportunities in networking as customers migrate to high IQ networks and best-in-class cloud environments, and this is where Juniper excels. Our optimized One Juniper structure reinvigorates the heritage of a mission-driven culture. Our enhanced operational efficiency is expected to result in a 25% operating margin for 2015 an approximate 580 basis point improvement versus 2013. Our aggressive capital return plan will return a minimum of $3 billion of capital to shareholders over the next 3 years, including more than $2 billion in share repurchases through Q1 2015. We will initiate 10 cents per share quarterly dividend to commence in 3Q 2014 with the intention to grow it over time. And I look forward to working with our two new highly qualified independent directors to be nominated to Juniper's board. When I first spoke with you on the January results call, I shared with you that I came to Juniper as an agent of change, and I'm excited to ramp the execution of our IOP and deliver results. Thank you for your time today. Robin is here with me, and we're happy to take your questions at this time.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now be conducting a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. Our first question is from Ben Reitzes of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks a lot, Shagan. Good to be speaking with you. I wanted to, I'm a numbers guy, and, you know, I'm running the numbers here, and, you know, I'm getting $2 in earnings for 2015 using this plan on street consensus revenue. I was wondering, you know, it's hard at this time, but do you think the consensus revenue expectations, you know, for mid-single-digit grower, mid-to-high-single-digit grower, is that the kind of growth that you're thinking of for Juniper? Is that, you know, so that we can kind of come up with a number for 2015? The revenue is the missing piece here, and it would be good to hear your view on where you think that can shake out or what kind of ranges. Thanks a lot.
Hi, Ben. Good to speak to be speaking with you, and look forward to seeing you next week at MWC, hopefully in Barcelona. We're not at this call going to be guiding into the future. What I can tell you, and I then pass it to Robin, is the plan is tuned for growth. That's sort of number one. And for the OPEX numbers and the ratios that we've put in the summary that I just went through. With that, I'm going to now pass to Robin. Robin, do you want to give any more color in terms of the projections on EPS and so forth?
Yeah, thanks, Shagan, and thanks, Ben. In terms of the range that we put out there, 25% is our target operating margin for 2015. We also mentioned in the prepared remarks that if you take the street's consensus for revenue for 2015, our OPEX for 2015 will be approximately 39% of revenue. Clearly, as Shagan said, we're not guiding to our revenue forecast for that period of time, but that will help you with the math. Just in terms of, again, on the model, I know you do look at numbers. So if you look at the OPEX glide path that we're looking at, we expect, you know, many of the actions are already underway. We'll expect some of the impact to start in Q2 of 2014, and we will see some more in Q3 and 4, and then get to our you know, new run rate as we exit Q1 of 2015.
Okay, next question, please.
Thank you. The next question is from Ehud Gelblum of Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, Shagan. How are you? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, Ehud, I can.
Okay, great. I'm sorry. I'm traveling right now. Question. The Q4 2013 OPEX seems to be a baseline number. That included $15 million in litigation expense for the Palo Alto litigation. When you're taking off the 160 run rate, so that's $40 million a quarter, does that include the 15? So once the, are we assuming that the litigation goes away, that Q1 15, that gives you $15 million automatically, and you just need another 25 from there? So that's question number one. Question number two is, after we get to this run rate of around, I'd say around $500 million or so is what the numbers give you for Q1 15, that it sort of stay at that rate as revenue continues to ramp throughout the year, because again, Q1 is your lowest revenue quarter, so as we ramp throughout the year, you'll get some pretty nice operating margin levels as the revenue ramps and the OPEX did cut, did it grow, or does it move up? And then finally, the original plan from Elliott asked for $200 million, and you're getting $160. Can you give a little color on what things they wanted you to cut that you're not cutting? What's the difference between the $200 million they asked for and the $160 that you're providing in this plan? Thanks.
Yeah, it was hard to hear you, Ehud, all the way through. And I think there was like at least three questions bottled in there. So I think the answer to your first question is yes, it does include it, and I'll have Robin say more about it. As far as the cost cuts, these are structural cost cuts that, as Robin said, the actions will be front loaded for the most part, and the cost will come out over the period of time to hit the steady state number in first quarter 2015. And from their point onwards, because they're structural, they're out of the system. Now, in terms of how you count it, you can count it in a couple of different ways. If you go off the street consensus, if you do the math there, it's roughly $192 million in steady state savings in 2015, if you do the math that way. If you do it versus how we ended Q4 of 2013, you get a slightly different number. It all depends on where you hang the reference from. But suffice it to say that there will be structural, if the actions will be front-loaded, and exit run rate, first quarter 2015, you multiply that quarter by four, and you get the numbers because they're structural. They're not going to come back. And we can share, the math with you, but essentially if you do the off-the-street numbers, $192 million in steady-state savings, we're very confident that we can achieve this, and we'll give you quarterly updates. We have a lot of actions. Actually, I have a book in front of me of all the actions and accountabilities of what we're going to be doing here. So we're pretty confident about that, and the number is actually quite close, plus or minus the 200 number that was put out there. Robin, do you want to say anything else?
No, I think you covered it, Shagun. Next question.
Thank you. The next question is from Rod Hall of J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Shagun. Hi, Rod. Thanks for taking my question. I hope you guys can hear me okay. I just a couple of quick ones. I wanted to see, Shagun, if you could maybe talk about, since you're kind of new to the business, why hire McKinsey? What is it that you think they bring to the party that helps with execution? And then also, if you could, I don't know if you can clarify a little bit. You know, we all kind of know what you mean by high IQ networks, and all this sounds good to us. It sounds pretty similar to what we hear from other companies. But I wonder if you could talk about, you know, I'm sure that in there's a pretty specific plan that you've got or some specific thoughts, and I wonder if you might be able to just help us understand how this is different from the direction Juniper might have been going before. And, you know, how you think it differs maybe from other people's approach as well.
Yeah, so let me take maybe your last one first, because I think that's a little bit more in there, and then the first one I think is relatively easy. So your last question is actually a really good one, because, Rod, this is actually quite a deep and sophisticated topic, and one is I think that Juniper is uniquely situated to capture this opportunity. And essentially, it goes as follows, and I'll just take 60 seconds to go through this. You know, we have products like our edge routing with MX. We've got our core routing product like PTX and switching with like QFX and EX, and we've got our SRX products and so forth. The way the company is structured today, these are thought of as independent business units, and so we are missing the leverage that is running across these network elements. And so what is that leverage? The leverage is, and without going too much into detail because we don't want to obviously give our intellectual property on this call away, it's actually quite simple at what level, which is the routers know a lot about the users, the switches know a lot about the hosts, the core routers know a lot about traffic flows, and the SRXs know a lot about insights of attacks and app-level information. If you're able to pull all this information together, you can do dramatic things relative to rapid service deployment, crushing operational expense for our customers, tracking security threats across the enterprise. As you know, the security threats are no longer in one place. They may actually be inside your enterprise already and figuring out where they are. All this information is on our network elements is on the wire. So to the extent that you can take this insight and make it actionable, it is big and it's dramatic and not thought of these elements as just sort of pipes. So a lot to talk about here, but suffice to say, we're very excited and completely aligned in the company on the on this issue. And in fact, we've shared this with a number of our really key customers across our verticals, and they're all very excited about it as well, and they totally get it, and they can't wait for these capabilities to be unleashed in their companies and enterprise. And as far as the McKinsey conversation is, I think it's pretty simple. We, personally, I have been at this structural cost efficiency all my career. Actually, from a place I came, as I think Ben can tell you, from Barclays, I was responsible for driving that initiative as well. So we have all the detail. We know what we're doing in terms of step by step. I have all the transparency, visibility, accountability, closed loop to make sure we check tangible observables and make sure the costs will come out. But we just need some extra help and resource so the teams on the ground have the extra resource to be able to do this in a very predictable manner, a very surgical manner, that makes the company, stronger as we come out of it. And we need some extra help in that. And that's why we have McKinsey, because frankly, we are also running the company relative to high IQ network and cloud building and being with our customers and shareholders and employees and so forth and so on. So they're extra help. We're very excited to have them, and I've actually worked with them before and with great experience. Thank you.
Next question, please.
Thank you. The next question is from Kulbinder Garcha of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Hi, Shagan. Thanks for the question. My question is that what are you baking in terms of the sustainable level of gross margin for Juniper? And the reason why I ask is obviously it seems to be that you imply that you can remain stable where over any long period of time, not only for Juniper, but for the industry, it seems that gross margins have been coming down. So with the implicit indication that your gross margins are somewhat more stable and that maybe this 25% level of op margin you guys can stay at, what's going to drive that going forward? Is anything in the product engineering side that's also changing beyond the operating cost cuts? Is it new products that we're going to hear about over the course of this year? Any color there would be helpful. And then the other aspect is that with the cash return you're doing, with what you're left on shore, what's your thoughts with respect to the need that Juniper may need to address new segments in M&A? Many thanks.
So, Kulbinder, I'll answer the gross margin question, and then I'll hand it over to Shagan to answer the other question. So in terms of gross margins, we've actually seen good gross margins in our product area over the last period of time. And what we've seen is that obviously gross margins are a factor of the competitiveness of the products, which we have great products in market today and we'll continue to have great products in market across routing, switching and security. We have a higher proportion of our revenues today that are software, and obviously given the strategy that Shagan outlined, that will continue. If you think about the other side of the equation on the cost side of gross margin, the cost of goods sold area, we've done significant work in that area in the supply chain and taking out costs in terms of that area. And we will continue to be focused on it. Today we just talked about our operating expenses, but we have many initiatives that are ongoing around the cost of goods sold area. So our view is our gross margins have been strong and they will continue to be good gross margins, although we're not giving you any specific guidance as it relates to gross margins in 2015 on this call. So in terms of the second part of the question?
Yeah, thanks Robin and hi Goldman there. As Robin said, on COGS, we're not guiding, but we continue to work hard on efficiency and cost on COGS as well, not only on OPEX. That's a good point. But I would say relative to your question, the top answer is the reason Juniper is where it is with great growth rates and great margins is because our products have high value content that the customers pay for. And this, with this new added dimension we're adding, which is high IQ and Cloud Builder, the value of the content, the content within our products is just going to increase. And I think that is, and you should just wait to see our product lines as they, our product roadmaps as we unveil them. But that's essentially the answer, is we'll continue to work on the cost side of the COGS. At the same time, this new strategy is beautiful from a high value content and increasing that in our product lines.
Okay, and operator, we have time for two more questions.
Thank you. The next question is from Amitabh Passi of UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thank you for the call. I had a clarification and then a question. On the clarification, Robin, I apologize if you talked about this, but can you give us any sense of the incremental leverage you may or are thinking about assuming? And then my question, Shaigan, for you was you spoke a lot about the importance of high IQ networks, which you define, I think, as an integrated ensemble of routing, switching, security, and intelligence. I didn't hear you say much on optics and optical transport, and I was wondering how you see or what you see the role of optics in your portfolio and how you plan to address that.
So let me talk about leverage or debt. We did say it in the prepared remarks, Amitabh, but we do expect to take on new debt over this next period of time, just given market conditions and that type of thing. The timing will be relatively soon.
Yeah, and Amitabh, on your question, again, a good question. We don't have time really to go too much into the detail here other than saying that all layers of OSI stack are in play here, from layer 1 to 7, to make these networks have those characteristics that our customers demand. And, of course, optics is one of those layers. So stay tuned. We haven't omitted it, and we haven't forgotten about it, but this is not the subject for this call.
Well, and as you know, Amitabh, our PTX product range is doing very well in the marketplace.
It is. It's also, that's in the play, yeah.
Okay, operator, next question.
Thank you. And our final question comes from Tal Liani of Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thank you. I listened to all your answers. Fascinating, but it looks like you're trying to do everything. And the history of Juniper was that when the company tried to do everything, there was just not enough budget for everything. And all the projects was kind of short-funded. And the asking is, what don't you do? What, from a product portfolio, you spoke about execution, you spoke about returning value to shareholders, very clear plans. What about portfolio? What are the areas where you think you can de-emphasize to free up money for the things you want to do?
Hi, Talia. Yeah, good to speak with you. Actually, this is a very focused plan. It's not tries to do everything, but it does try to do things that are extremely important to the customers as the build cycle is kicking into high gear in high IQ network and cloud building, and that we are very excellent at the core of what is happening in the networks. Rest assured that based on the usual things you do, which is you do Pareto charts of your other product lines relative to their growth and profitability and the fit to this strategy, we have done a very detailed bottoms-up work on places where we need to invest and grow, places where we need to reposition, places we need to transition, and so forth and so on. And so we've done all that work, and it's actually a much more focused line of attack on our product lines than we've ever had before. And, the team is very excited about it because, they think that's what we need right now, is focus on what matters most to customers that we excel at. And where the market is growing the fastest, which is the build cycle in high IQ network and cloud ecosystem. So a lot again to talk about here, but rest assured that your comment was very well sort of taken
and throughout this entire process to make sure that we really focus the company and not try to do everything, which you correctly have pointed out, doesn't really work.
Okay. That is all the time we have for this afternoon. We'd like to thank you so much for making time in your schedule. We realize you had very short notice and you have a busy day, so we appreciate it, and we look forward to talking with you again soon. Thank you, operator.